Welcome to Ventilly Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. It's going to be a great day. If it wasn't going to be, go out and make it a great day. All right. Now, hey, the title of today's show, first of all, is episode 314. The title is Dr. Kvitko Welcomes Alex Fitz of the Kick Drums live from Brooklyn, here to talk about his new album, Thinking Out Loud, via Hopeless Records. And so we'll have Alex on the phone here in just a second. Let me just tell you a little bit about Alex. Alex is an indie rocker singer-songwriter. He started off as a Cleveland-based producer whose work with local hip-hop acts caught the ears of big-name rappers looking for production that blended hip-hop and indie rock styles. He and his production partner, Matt Pantilla, found work with artists like 50 Cent, John Legend, and Kid Cudi, and did remixing for Kanye West, Adele, Ben Harper, and Peter Bjorn, and John. At the same time, the duo began working on its own hybrid of indie rock and hip-hop, releasing an EP, Just a Game, in 2009, then a full-length Meet Your Ghost in 2011. Pantilla left the band after this release, and Fitz struck out on his own, turning the Kick Drums into a one-man band and trading in any vestiges of hip-hop for electronic-tinged singer-songwriter-influenced indie rock. After signing with Hopeless Records, the still Logic EP was released in July of 2013, followed by the Thinking Out Loud album in October of the same year. Alex, are you there? Hello? Do we have Alex with us? Let's see here. Alex, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Okay. The wonders of technology. So how are you?
Good, man. How's it going?
It's great. Thank you so much for getting up, being on the show. I really appreciate it. You know what I want to do is I want to play a little bit of collaborated with Machine Gun Kelly, MGK, on a song called Stereo. And so we're going to play just a little 15-second bit of that for people to get a feel for your sound.
Okay.
She doesn't want to sleep without me, that's why I said.
So turn me out. You set me free. Just look inside the speakers and they see me.
All right, that's your part, right, Alex?
Yeah, that's the chorus.
Okay. Well, Machine Gun Kelly, he's a rapper, and he needed a song that he needed some sounds. I think I told you last time we spoke that neither me nor my wife kind of like rap if there isn't singing involved, and a lot of the rappers can't sing, so that's where you came in.
Yeah. I started out as a producer. I've been doing music my whole life, playing in just like, you know, local bands and just doing music, but I got into just kind of making beats when I was in high school, and that's how I got into rap music. But I've always kind of come from it in a real musical angle. I think there's a lot of debate out there about you know whether or not people like rap music or whatever, and a lot of it comes down to, you know, there isn't necessarily a lot of musicality put into it. But you know, the direction that I've always gone with it is a lot of melodies and a lot of I've always kind of combined it with just a lot of like musical sensibilities.
Yeah, no, it's more of a song to me, and I noticed on your Thinking Out Loud album how every song seems to start off with a different beat, and that's what you're talking about, right?
It's sort of a, you know, the Kick Drums as a band, or if you want to call it that, it's really like a one-man band type of thing. You know, I sit down and I kind of just make a beat on my own, just, you know, take like a tempo and a melody and just kind of start from there. And then I just structure the song and just build it all up. And, you know, I just play everything myself for the most part. But, you know, I collaborate a lot with other people, too.
Uh-huh.
So it just depends on the song.
So would you call yourself a singer-songwriter who also plays the drums, or a drummer who happens to sing and write songs?
I would call myself a singer-songwriter that plays drums, because, you know, I'm definitely not up on my chops with drums. I haven't had a drum set in a while, living in New York. You know, I just don't have the space for it, so... You know, I don't know. But, yeah, I love playing drums. That's the main instrument I grew up playing, that and guitar.
Okay, because, you know, I play the drums. I started playing the drums when I was in fifth grade. I guess you're 10 then. I'd been bugging my parents for 2 years prior to that. I want to take drum lessons. And so finally the band director, after me bugging them for 2 years, and the band director convincing them that the practice pad was real quiet, they said yes, not realizing that within about 3 days I'd be actually hitting a drum, you know? So not only do you not have room for your drum set, your neighbors would probably hate you.
Oh, yeah, there's no way you could have a drum set. I mean,
so yeah. Even though you're a drummer and you lay down these beats, you figure them out, but then you'll hire a drummer. I think you told me that your drummer's from Manhattan.
Yeah, my drummer's from Long Island.
Oh, Long Island, okay.
Yeah, so he plays with me live. We've been playing together for a couple of years, and we're actually about to go work on this next album, so he's going to be a lot more involved in this next project, which is really exciting because... As much as it's nice to be able to kind of create your own music and do a lot of it yourself, it's way more beneficial for the band, and it's a better experience to just work together with people on stuff. There's more ideas flowing, and it's just a more fun process.
Right, it takes shape quicker because you don't have to wait 3 days to get an opinion from somebody who says, "Hey, if you'd have done this different, it would have sounded better," right?
Yeah, it's just, you know, and we've gotten so used to playing together you know, the music has kind of morphed into something else. When I was starting out and I was doing it, it really was just something that was sort of my vision, but now it's sort of turned into everybody's vision.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool.
Now, would you say that, first of all, the video of Stereo, MGK, the song is called Stereo. You can go to iTunes and type in the word Stereo, and the first one that will come up will be Adam Levine's Stereo. I forget the whole name of his song, but anyway, he's got the same word in it. And then underneath that would be MGK's version. That has Alex Fitz on it. But in that video, you were standing on top of that old school bus that was made into a party bus. That's you singing, right?
Yeah, that's me. yeah, I don't know. I guess that's some bus that you can rent.
Oh, you can
I've
rent
actually
it?
Seen it before.
Oh, it's
it
real?
Goes all over the country, and you can just rent that bus for different stuff.
I thought so. They just made it up for the video. You can actually rent that bus. Wow.
Yeah, no, it's out there.
Now, there was a quick snippet of a drummer playing in that video. Was that your drummer?
I think this was other kid, Justin, I believe his name is. He's been playing with MGK for a while. I'm not sure if he still is, but
oh, okay.
At the time he was MGK's drummer.
Okay, got it. Now, would you say that collaborating with MGK on that song, would that be kind of almost like your breakout moment? Like because he's already well known, and now it says with Alex Fitz, and so now you were able to release your own Thinking Out Loud album?
Yeah, I think it's one of my breakout moments.
What are the others?
I've had a lot of good things happen on the production side and on the collaboration side, and you know, it was definitely a great opportunity, and I love that song, and I'm glad they decided to use it as a single and shooting a video and all that. So it definitely helped.
Yeah,
definitely helped get me out there more.
So now, how'd you and MGK meet? Because you're from Cleveland, he's from Cleveland. Is that how?
Yeah, we're both from Cleveland, so we knew each other prior to whatever. I mean, basically, he was coming up as an artist in the city, just like a local artist. At that point, I had already produced for a lot of bigger, like more national acts and stuff. So I kind of took notice of what he was doing, and his fan base was growing like pretty big regionally. And he did this one song called Alice in Wonderland, and I really liked it. I thought it was great. So I reached out to him and asked if he wanted to do a song, and Stereo is the song that we did.
Cool.
And it just so happened that, you know, he was doing this thing regionally, and he was looking to kind of break out of that. He didn't really know how to take it to the next level, and I had a lawyer named James, and I just connected him with James, and James took the song to the record company, Interscope, and you know, the rest is history.
Cool.
So they really like Stereo, and obviously they liked what MGK was doing as far as his his movement and his music and stuff. So that's kind of how everything sort of got going, and that's why they used the song as a single. And
wow. Yeah, the song has a lot of energy, but I think it's your melody that really makes it fly.
It's one I always try to create something new and different with each song that I do, and especially when I'm doing hip hop, I try to come from a new angle, like a fresh perspective on it. So I'm really happy that, you know, that type of song got used as a single and stuff, because it is sort of like a little bit more, I don't know, different and
yeah.
Kind of stuff.
So. Cool. Hey, I want folks to hear one of your songs from your new album. And this one is called Atonement, and it's from Thinking Out Loud, The Kick Drums.
Write another song for you. Shiver in the cold for you. Stand out.
Oh,
That was indie rock singer-songwriter Alex Fitz and his group Kick Drums, the Kick Drums. I think that's pretty cool, Alex. So, hey, you're talking about Cleveland, you and both Machine Gun Kelly, Cleveland. But whenever I meet somebody who tells me they're from Cleveland, I say, you're not really from Cleveland. Where are you really from? Because I've never met anybody that actually is from Cleveland. Are you from, like, Bainbridge or Shaker Heights? Or where were you guys really from?
I'm from a town called Chesterland.
See?
It's about 20 miles east. It's called Chesterland.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I knew that. And I didn't know where you were from, but I knew it wasn't Cleveland. What about MGK?
I think MGK is from Shaker.
Okay, see? See, I grew up in Twinsburg, so I grew up in the same area.
Oh, I didn't. You're actually from Cleveland, too?
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in Twinsburg. I was a caddy at Chagrin Valley Country Club in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. Got married in Hudson, so yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'm obviously real familiar with all those areas.
Cool. So now tell me about your childhood. Any brothers or sisters? Like, where'd you go to high school? Chesterland High? Or?
I have two sisters. I grew up in that area pretty much my whole life. I mean, the only other place I've lived is New York City besides the east side of Cleveland. I went to West Geauga High School.
Okay.
It's a real small school. You know, our graduating class is only like 250 people or something, but... you know, as small as it was, it's like really, I don't know, it's not as hickish as it sounds. A lot of people in New York are kind of just like, oh my God, that's like the smallest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Not as small as Twinsburg. I had less people in my class than that.
I'm like, you know, it is, but at the same time, everybody is kind of educated and everybody is pretty worldly and stuff. A lot of people, even though it's a small town, people don't really have the small town mentality in a lot of cases. So, I don't know. It was a cool place to grow up for sure.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it a lot, and I still have relatives up there, so I go up there relatively often. Now, were you in choir, or in the band, or both?
Yeah, I was in the school band. I never did choir. I actually didn't find my singing voice really until later. I just started really singing, like all out singing and being a front man and stuff, probably like 4 or 5 years ago. But up to that point, I was just doing music, you know, just producing and. I played drums in the school band.
Oh, the marching band too?
No, not the marching band, just the whatever, the orchestra.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you play snare or did you play, what'd you play?
It depended on the song. I mean, there were different people, you know, there were like 4 or 5 of us that were in the percussion department. So depending on the song, I might be playing snare or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, see, I did that, and I also did marching band. But it was an interesting story because that year they were building a new middle school, but it wasn't finished yet. And so they decided to put the 8th graders at the high school. That was my class. So I was actually in high school marching band as an 8th grader, and I was about 4 foot nothing. You know, and the snare drums are obviously bigger than the kind you find in a kit. And so we had this strap cinched all the way up and it was still dragging the ground.
Crazy.
I looked like somebody had let somebody's little brother out there accidentally, you know, but it was actually kind of fun. So now how old were you when you began to take music lessons?
Oh, man, the first music lessons I probably took were piano, and I must have been maybe like 7 or 8 or something. Everyone in my family took some sort of, we were like a real musical family and a real sports-oriented family. That's one thing that I know about myself that isn't necessarily, you don't find a lot. I'm really 50% sports and 50% music. A lot of times you meet people in music and they've never picked up a baseball or nothing in their life. You know, they've just been kind of artistic. Or if you meet someone who loves sports, they really don't, they're just usually just fans of music. They don't actually pursue a career in music. But I did both. You know, if it wasn't for me choosing music, I would have tried to go into like the minor leagues for baseball or tried to play overseas for soccer.
Wow.
I just chose music, though. I mean, the great thing about music is you really only have to compete against yourself. And there's just, you know, that's the whole idea behind sports, obviously, is kind of competing for your spot and whatnot. And I just got tired of it. Like, I didn't want to constantly wake up every day and be fighting for your spot or your starting position or whatever. I just didn't want it anymore. Music, it's more about, like, I don't know, expressing yourself, and the reason to get out of bed is to be artistic, not to, you know, prove that you're, you know, the best or something.
You can run faster.
You don't have to be the best. You just have to be yourself. And that's like a real nice feeling. So.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I actually played baseball from Pee Wee on up into Pony League when we were in eighth grade. And my music actually took me away from that because I auditioned for and joined a group at age 14 and went and had private tutors for 2.5 years. And we traveled around the country. So it's kind of similar, although I'm a little bit older than you, so we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be a dentist someday, too.
So you toured around and everything?
Yeah. We had our own bus. It was called Paul Caldwell and the Caldwells. We were the opening act for the name groups of the day. So you go to like a major state fair, like a Texas or an Alabama state fair, and whoever the headliner was, we would go on before them. So Jeannie C. Riley and the Statler Brothers and Conway Twitty and those kind of folks.
That's cool, man.
It's these names are so old that most people listening don't even know who I'm talking about, but some do. But no, it was very fun. So hey, if you're just joining us, by the way, we are speaking with Alex Fitz of the Kick Drums. He is he's in Brooklyn now. He's based out of Brooklyn, but he grew up in the Cleveland area, Chesterland, and actually has some family in Columbus. And and just so you know, there's another connection, and that is teeth. And so we can talk a little bit about dentistry. It is a dental show. We'll do that after the break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Remember the beautiful smile you had before your first set of dentures? Remember the disappointment you had when you looked at them in the mirror for the first time? The teeth were either too big or too small, or they made your lip too fat. Whatever it was, they just didn't fit your face, and you've been stuck with them ever since. And to make things worse, every time you get a new set, your dentist makes them look like the old set. Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, rather than just copying the mistakes of years gone by, we'll use photos of you when you were younger to recreate your original smile. Minus any flaws he wishes to leave out, of course, we can help you turn back the clock. Interested? Give us a call at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko & Associates. Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are you a denture wearer? Does your upper denture fit nice and snug, but your lower denture barely stays put? The longer a person wears dentures, the more the gums and bones shrink. Even after shrinkage, the upper denture can still have suction thanks to the palate. However, the lower ridge gets flatter and thinner with time, and since there was never any suction to begin with, lower dentures can become impossible to wear. Until now, that is. Now we can place mini implants in the lower arch and attach snaps to the underside of your own denture. Doing this will not only keep your denture in place, it will be so securely fastened that it might even take you two hands to get it out. How about that for a nice problem to have? Interested? Give us a call at 614-262-9588. That's
614-262-9588. Dr. Kvitko &
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko ici sur votre radio préférée.
Hi, I'm Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1. I flew all the way to Columbus to have Dr. Kvitko do my cosmetic dentistry, and I am so happy with the results. Thanks, Dr. Kvitko. You're the best. Just so you know, I'm going to come back to have you do my regular dental care, too. I can't wait.
'Cause you doesn't want to sleep without me. That's why I said
so done.
All right, and we're back, and that was Alex Fitz in the song Stereo with MGK, Machine Gun Kelly. All right, so, hey, Alex, before the break, we were talking about teeth, or we're going to talk about teeth.
Yeah, nice. It's a dental show, after all.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, the way I look at the show is it's just really about life. It's a little bit like, well, there's two that come to mind. There's the Larry the Cable Guy, and he's got a show called Only in America. And all he does is goes around and experiences life. And, of course, he's a comedian, so he kind of makes everything funny. And then you have Rachel Ray, who has the show where she now, she started off as a cooking show, only cooking, just standing in front of the camera cooking. And now she has a regular talk show where she sits and talks to guests. And then at some point during the show, they'll get up and make a little snack or cook a meal or do something, right? Maybe the favorite recipe of one of her guests. So I think of Dentally Speaking as kind of like that. You know, it's just about life. And everybody has teeth, I've discovered, started or used to, and so we always have something to talk about.
Makes sense.
So we got to meet a little bit ago, and you hadn't been to a dentist in a while. You came in for exam, x-ray, gleaning, and a filling. So how do you think that went?
It went really good. I think going to the dentist is like nerve-wracking for everybody, no matter who you are. But I hadn't gone for a while. I mean, some of those things that you just kind of put off, and it got to the point where I was just like, oh man, I got to make sure everything's okay. So I went in, and it was great. You know, the feelings, like, nothing hurts. Everything is good.
Good, good. And so you were putting it off because you've considered it unpleasant, or thought it would be, right?
Yeah, that, and also it's like being having my own business and stuff. I don't have health insurance right now, so
okay.
I'm happy that, like, Obamacare and all that is finally sort of coming together, and I know it's not perfect, it's not good for everybody, but it is like a viable option for people that don't necessarily have health insurance right now.
Yeah, the problem is I don't know if you realize this, it doesn't include dental care.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Okay. See, I was thinking, you know, it's funny because towards the end of 2013, things slowed down a little bit at the office, and we're going, well, I wonder what's up with that. And then somebody said, well, I wonder if everybody's kind of waiting, thinking that they're going to have this new insurance under Obamacare, and then they can come in and get their teeth done. And I said, you really think they don't know that there's no dental coverage? And they said, probably, and I guess you're one of them, huh?
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people don't really know what's going on with that.
Including the people in charge, right? Including the people that wrote the policies and all that. But
yeah,
no.
Probably. I mean, I think they're trying to help and make a difference, but, you know, I think it's really hard to break through to mainstream America with anything nowadays. It's the internet and the way people kind of digest information and news nowadays. It's just, I don't know, it's really hard to break through to anybody's attention span whatsoever, no matter what you're trying to do, even with something as important as a healthcare bill.
Right.
You know, like 80% of the people are going to have no idea it's even going on. They'll just hear the catchphrases. That's it. Like Obamacare, like they've heard that word before, but they don't know what it's about. They don't know the details. Like they don't know anything.
Exactly. And most people don't know that the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear the Affordable Care Act, they're talking about Obamacare is just a nickname that we've given it.
Basically.
So that's, to me, it's just really unfortunate and sad, actually, that all that talk and all the work that's going to end up bringing health care to the nation, and they didn't include dental.
They definitely should have. I mean, I actually can't believe they wouldn't do that, but, you know, I don't know anything of what they're trying to do or why. There's always reasons for everything, and I'm not really sure what their reasoning is, but I'm sure it's something, you know?
Yeah. So the three reasons that kept you away were thinking it might be unpleasant, meaning it might hurt, that you were too busy because you're self-employed, and wondering if you could afford it.
Basically, yeah. It's expensive if you don't have insurance.
Yeah, if you don't have insurance. Now, I'll tell you what. I like to say to folks, dentistry's not expensive, the neglect is. So if you do what you did, which came in when you had small cavities and we did small fillings, then it's really not that bad. But if you had waited longer and needed a root canal too, which then would mean you'd need a crown, then it would be expensive. So any of your buddies that are listening, think about that and remember that Obamacare is not going to help you, so you need to call your dentist too, or come to me. You know,
my girlfriend actually just had that happen. She had an old filling from when she was a kid that fell out, and she needed to go get it filled, but she put it off, and it turned into a root canal, and it just, like, killed her, man. It's so expensive.
Right. Like 10 times the cost of that the filling would have been.
Yeah.
Something like that. Somewhere in that range, yeah. So do yourself a favor and go now, even if you don't have any pain. By the way, cavities don't hurt. So if you're waiting for a toothache to decide to go to the dentist, you've already waited until it's too late. Not too late in the sense that we can't fix you, but too late in the sense that you're not going to get away cheap. Because pain, your body is telling you, you probably have a cavity that's into the nerve or very, very close and will most likely need a root canal. So too bad. Now your girlfriend knows and she's going to make sure that doesn't happen again, I hope.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
I mean, it's one of those things you can't plan for. It just sort of happens.
Well, that's true. But that's where the six-month checkups come in. And, you know, if people do it. By the way, I figured out that if somebody puts aside $35 a month, now this is Ohio numbers. Maybe it's more in New York City. I don't know. But About $35 a month will cover a couple cleanings a year, exams a couple times. It'll cover fluoride treatments and x-rays maybe every third visit. And so if you're listening and you don't have insurance, like a lot of folks don't, just get an envelope at the end of each month, put $35 in it, and hide it away, and then make your appointment. It's that simple. What do you think? Sound like a plan, Alex?
That sounds like a really good plan.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody has envelopes so they can buy one. Cheap. Okay. Now, at what point did you decide you wanted to make music your life? Because you said, and I know it was the sports were getting to you, but like how old were you, and were you still in high school? Tell me how that came about.
Well, I had graduated from high school, and I started going to a community college in Cleveland, and I was working.
Is that Tri-C?
Tri-C. I was kind of working for my dad, and I also had just odd jobs like Guitar Center, and I worked at a entry level at a bank. And I mean, just doing that, I wanted to do something kind of creative, and I wanted to be in music. So the first thing I did was I went to a vocational school to learn how to engineer, be just work in the studio. And so I got out of that and I started working for a local studio and I started making tracks. And, the weird thing is that people are always like, you know, how do you make money? How do you survive? And I've never actually had a job. I've always worked in music ever since I got out of school. The thing is that people don't understand is that you got to like diversify and you got to get out ahead of your bills. Like, at this point I've been doing it for so long and, you know, I've been lucky enough to put out stuff on like actual labels and stuff that it's not that big of an issue. But when you're starting out, you got to basically do something like 6 months ago that you're going to get paid for now.
Right.
I think a lot of people are working a job where you get paid every 2 weeks and you sort of just fall into this routine where the check gets deposited into your bank account and it's like show up to work and the money shows up in your bank.
Right.
But that's not how it works.
And then
you're sort of an independent contractor.
Exactly.
Even when you're just not doing music and you're doing something else, you're constantly trying to track people down to get paid. You know,
right.
and businesses kind of have their cash flow. So, you know, sometimes they're waiting and waiting and waiting to kind of to pay you. And, you know, you're waiting to pay someone else, and the cycle just continues,
right?
You know? But, so you just got to get out ahead. If you're going to do something that takes 6 months to get paid, that means by everything has to overlap. By the time you get to that 6 months and you get the check from that person, you should have already completed something that's going to get you paid
next month.
Get out ahead of it and you keep ahead of it.
That's
you
really,
know?
Really good advice. Yes. Because I'm self-employed and everybody that is self-employed understands exactly what you're talking about. And by the way, a lot of those people that have their paycheck dumped in their account every Friday, they have it spent by Saturday.
Yep.
So,
which is one thing you can't do when you're self-employed.
Exactly.
So.
Partially because you never know when the next check's going to be dumped.
I know. How did you get involved in like your own dentist practice? I mean, how does that work as a dentist? Is it something where you work for somebody else first and then you kind of break out on your own? Or did you just start out that way, like right off the bat?
Well, I'll tell you, when I was getting ready to graduate from dental school, and I assume right now as well, even 34 years later, they were telling us, don't even try to open your own office. There are too many dentists. Just go and see if you can work with somebody for a while. But I decided, basically, I'm the kind of person that if you tell me no, it makes me want to do it even more. And so it sounds like you too.
And
so, and so I said, you know what? I think I can do this. And so I decided that I wanted to own my own. I wanted to build the kind of practice that I knew would suit my dentistry and not somebody else's idea of what good dentistry was. And so I found this little building, and with the help from my in-laws, a little loan that I paid back with interest and my wife's help with remodeling and all that, I opened this little two-chair office in Clintonville. And we made it go. It wasn't always easy, but we certainly made it go. And I'm so happy that I did that because I can really get to practice the way I want to practice. The horror stories that I've heard from guys that work at other offices, what they're told they can and can't do and how they have to, you know, they only give them 35 minutes to do this, something that I might take an hour to do because it's more pleasant if you're taking an hour to do it for the patient, you know, that sort of thing. It's been great, but it's a rough ride. It really is. It took about 10 years before I could enjoy the holidays because people would, typically right before the holidays would kind of tail off or not pay or whatever. Hey, we always do a Dr. Kavitko's question of the day, and we're going to do one right now. Before we do the question, though, we want you to listen to the disclaimer that the attorneys have asked us to play.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
All right, the winner is going to receive free flowers from Weistember Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The question of the day is, my guest today, Alex Fitz of the Kick Drums, is A, from the Cleveland area, B, has family in Columbus, C, lives in Brooklyn, New York, D, has his dentistry done by me, Dr. Kvitko, or E, all of the above. All right. The question is, my guest today, Alex Fitz, is A, from the Cleveland area, B, has family in Columbus, C, lives in Brooklyn, and D, has his dentistry done by me, Dr. Kvitko, or E, all of the above. The phone number to call, 459-9769. That's 459-9769. So go ahead and call now.
Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko, let's go!
Yeah! Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are you an adult with teeth that are crooked? Maybe you had braces as a kid, but you didn't wear your retainer as often as you should have? Or maybe your parents weren't able to offer you braces as a child. Well, take heart. Now you can have straight teeth in 6 months. That's right. Using clear brackets and tooth-colored wires, we can straighten your teeth before it's even time for your next cleaning. So, if you have a high school reunion, a graduation party, or even a wedding in your future, why not let us straighten, then whiten your teeth? Interested? Call us to schedule a no-charge 6-month smiles consultation at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates. Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go or if you could afford it? Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kvitko Mentness & Associates, we've been doing successful smile makeovers for decades. Stop in and see our vast library of actual before and after photos or see a small sampling of them at drkvitko.com. Plus, we've made them affordable. Whether you choose the low monthly payments or having your makeover done in phases to spread your cost over time, I know you'll be happy with your new smile. So what are you waiting for? You know you're worth it. Pick up the phone and call us at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. It's a call that's guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Sie hören zu einer Rede über zahnärztliche Sachen mit Dr. Kvitko hier an Ihrer beliebtesten Station.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko@aol.com.
Write another song for you. Shiver in the cold for you.
All right, that is Atonement by the Kick Drums, Alex Fitz. All right, so we have four callers on the line, and Alex, do me a favor, pick a number from 1 to 4.
3.
Number 3. All right, let's go to line 3. Who do we have? Is this Gary?
Yes.
Hey, Gary. Thank you for listening, and do you have a guess for today's question of the day?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your guess?
It's E.
E, all of the above. The question was, my guest Alex Fitz is from the Cleveland area, has family in Columbus, lives in Brooklyn, and has had his dentistry done by me, all of the above. Good answer. All right, well, Gary, hey, please stay on the line, and we'll get your information so we can make sure you get those flowers. And Sarah, Scoop, and Karen, please call back next week, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So, okay, Alex, now how I have a question. How will you know when you've arrived? In other words, how do you define success?
That's a really, really tough question, because I think you could say it would be like a number one song on the radio or a number one album, which of course that's great, or maybe winning a Grammy or something like that. But the funny thing is, I think musicians and just fans of music kind of have a different perception of what success is. I think a lot of musicians are happy with just the ride. It's sort of like the journey, you know, making albums, making songs, and doing shows and just all that stuff. And that you get like a great sense of satisfaction from just the process.
Yeah.
But a lot of outside people really only gauge things by how successful the projects you put out are. So I think if you ask the average person, it would be something like winning a Grammy or having a number one song on the radio. But to the average musician, it would just be like, you know, having a career, you know, just, you know, these things that are really small to everybody else, but mean a lot to the person, you know,
being able to work your craft and be able to make a living doing it. So like have fun and get paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing better.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, yeah, because I enjoyed every second that I was with that group, and I didn't make a lot of money, but boy, was it a lot of fun. And it's not like we were poor either, but we certainly didn't get wealthy doing it, but it was great. Now, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I'm still going to be doing the same thing. I really have just got started as far as carving out my own niche of being a songwriter and having my own group and touring around and stuff, so I'll still be doing that 5 years from now, but again, I started as a producer, so that's sort of my fallback plan.
Oh, okay.
I've always wanted to do soundtracks for movies or different things, which would be really cool, so I was hoping to kind of get into that at some point, and, you know, I could write songs for other people for many years to come, so...
Cool.
That's sort of my retirement plan.
So if you get that number one song and you get a Grammy, are you still going to be willing to come on my show?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Just wanted to check. Now, have you been to any of your high school reunions?
Actually, I didn't go.
You didn't go?
I was in New York, so
oh, okay.
I didn't make the trip back.
Because you would have had to take Amtrak or something to get back? Or
yeah, I probably just would have drove. I mean, it's so expensive to fly, and the trains are just expensive. The best way to is just to drive.
Mm.
And I've done it so many times, just going home to see family and stuff, that like that 8 hours just flies by.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's really not bad. I drove to New York City the last time I went. Now, which artists have inspired your music the most?
When I was growing up, I really liked Nirvana a lot. I really liked the Beatles, you know, Pink Floyd. As far as rap music, because I did grow up listening to rap music, I always loved Jay-Z and like Outkast. It was kind of just a hybrid of everything, you know, when I was growing up. Just kind of, I don't know if it was from being from Ohio or just the particular time,
but
we listened to everything, old, new, hip-hop, rock.
Yeah, I grew up listening to everything, too.
I love Radiohead, too. That's one of my favorite bands.
Cool. If you're just joining us, we are talking with Alex Fitz of the Kick Drums, and let's play another song. This one's called Brave Radar. Okay, this is another song off of the Thinking Out Loud album. Here we go.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko after these messages.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavitko aquí en su estación favorita.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko. Do you wear complete or partial dentures? Are you tired of having to take your teeth out at night? Or how about having to take them out at the doctor's office or in the hospital? Pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Heck, they've already taken away your clothes and then they take away your teeth too. Wouldn't it be nice to go back to having teeth that don't come out of your mouth? Well, you can. Here at Dr. Kavitko & Associates, we can place implants and cement fixed bridges on top to give you a smile that never comes out. You'll never look or feel toothless again. Think what that can do for your self-esteem. And you'll never have to worry about a metal clasp showing or your dentures falling out with a big sneeze. Interested? Give us a call at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kavitko and Associates. Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Have years of coffee, tea, or smoke darkened your teeth? Do you remember when your smile was white and bright? Would you like to recapture the days when your smile lit up the room? Call us at 262-9588 and let us help you turn back the clock.
Dr. Kavitko and Associates.
Of course it feels strange, but we suck it out again. It's okay, stone.
And we're back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko, and we have the singer-songwriter who did that song, Alex Fitz, on the phone with us. He's our guest today. So, hey, Alex, first of all, I want to thank you again for being on my show. It's actually an honor, and I appreciate you getting up so early to do this.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I love your music, by the way. Like I said, I couldn't get out of my head, and it's just so melodic. It really is. I mean, even when you hear it for the first time, before the song's over, you're going to remember that. So I expect big things for you.
Thank you, man. Let's hope. You know, I'm going to just keep doing my thing, and we got a lot of big plans for 2014. Just going to keep doing it.
Yep, that's what I would do, because it's going to work, I bet. Now, let's see here. What did I do with my questions? I wrote a bunch of questions, and I think I might have shuffled them somehow. There they are. So, now, how would you describe your music? Because I know I read a bio where somebody else described it, but how would you describe it?
I would describe it as like a production based. When I envision myself, it's me just sitting, making a beat, and then singing on top of it, writing a song. You know, it's not like a band. It's not like I'm trying to think of a good comparison. It would kind of be like a modern day garage band that, you know, the one guy plays all the instruments. You know, that stuff used to happen back in the day too. I mean, Paul McCartney and John Lennon and these guys, they used to do a lot of one-man albums, too.
They did?
Paul McCartney, I forget which album it was, but he played every instrument on one of his albums before he started doing Wings.
Okay, so they just lay down each track separately.
Everything is, it depends on the recording process, so you can go in and record things as a live band and do very little layering, but you can also go in and just isolate everything, you know, play everything separately. So, and a lot of people do that. And if you do it that way, then you could basically, like, one person can play everything.
Okay. Until you go and try to do a live concert.
Yeah, so you got to figure that out.
Teach somebody how to do it. I've actually recorded a song, a record. It was a 45, so I've been in the studio myself. It was an interesting experience. And, you know, they put the drummer in this room with a bunch of burlap bag walls, and you can't hear anything. You can barely hear yourself. It sounds weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, the ISO booth.
Yeah. It's just so unnatural. I actually didn't like the process, but knowing that I was recording was kind of cool, so I was fine with it.
You still have the 45?
I do. I don't know if there's any machines out there that can play it anymore.
Oh yeah, no, people still have record players. I have a record player. I actually still kind of collect records, but the albums that I really like, I buy on vinyl. You know, yeah. When I'm buying a CD, you know, it's not. I don't have a car right now. Living in New York, you don't need one, so I have no use for a CD. And MP3s are cool, but if I really like an album, I'll just go buy it on vinyl. I can play it at home.
Right now it's in this big frame under a bunch of other memorabilia, you know, pictures and stuff from my time with the group that my wife put together for a Christmas present 1 year for me. It's pretty cool. So it has a record in there. It's sealed, hermetically sealed in glass.
Would you guys ever, like, recombine and do a reunion show or anything, or is that just out of question?
Well, keep in mind that I was only 14 to 16 when I was doing it, and so actually the leader of the group is no longer alive, and I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. But it would be kind of neat. I still keep in touch with one of the guys. He lives in Indiana, mm-hmm. Bloomington.
So, you were young, man. 14, drummer.
14 to 16. I had private tutors. It was fun. It was really fun. I had to go to my tutors every 2 weeks. I'd use my bicycle to get there. It was, you know what? It was just an experience that you could never recreate, you know?
Yeah.
It was fun. So, hey, I've got many more questions, but we're up against another break. So we're going to go to commercial. When we come back, we'll kind of wrap this up in the next 5 to 10 minutes, okay?
Okay.
So hang with me. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko and Alex Fitz of the Click Kick Drums. We'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il Dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are your teeth crooked, and while you would like them straight, there's no way you would wear braces for 2 years? What if I told you we could straighten your teeth in 6 months, between now and your next cleaning? Would you be interested? Call us, 262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates. Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go? Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we have thousands of happy patients. Stop in and see our before and after pictures. Call us at 262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
I'm Grandpa! And I go to Dr. Kvitko and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
That is Brave Radar with the Kick Drums, Alex Fitz. And so, Alex, thank you for being my guest today. I've got a few more questions, more than I'm going to get to, but here we go. Describe one of your typical days.
Typical day would be wake up, make my coffee, and go through emails. And I work during the day. A lot of musicians kind of work at night or whatever, but I'm most creative during the day, so I'll start working on whatever, like, is laid out for that day, whether I got to finish a song or start something new, or if I was working on a record with somebody else, if I got to finish it or if I got to touch it up or something, I'll work on that. And, I mean, that could go all the way late into the night, or I could wrap up around, like, 5 or 6 or something and just kind of, like, whatever, chill out for the rest of the night. But
right.
That's my typical day. And then I like to work out, so I'll go jogging or something, probably like mid-afternoon, or maybe I'll wait till later at night.
Interesting. So you're able to support yourself with your music and your producing and your songwriting and all that.
Yeah, totally. Like I said, I'm just real diversified at this point. You know, I have my own albums. I have music on other people's albums, like people like MGK. So I get, you know, these little checks from each one of these things. And when you put them together, it's enough to live and enough to kind of like do, I don't know, just it's financial freedom, but it's not like it's not like I'm buying a house right now or something, or like, you know, it just kind of gets me by.
But it'll get better. It'll get better as time goes by. I think the stereo is probably going to keep growing, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think I think really right now, there is like, it's not the same as probably when I was growing up, but there is, you can make money in music. It's just, if you think about it, everything kind of snowballs. I have this album out now, and with licensing for products and commercials and stuff, there's a decent amount of money in that. But the thing is, it's not just about that, because say, you know, your song is used for a television show or something, you know, that gets exposed to millions of people, and then those people will turn around and will probably buy the song if they're into it, and then the exposure turns into more shows, and these are all things that you get paid for. So it just really snowballs, and then before you know it, you're like, wow, there actually is, you know, a way to make money, because it's not just all about record sales. So,
right. I think it was Phil Phillips. They used his song for the Olympics or something. Yeah, the theme song for the Olympics. The NBC used it. Was I'm Coming Home or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, boy, that just blew that song up. And then the AT&T, they used the song from Neon Trees.
Uh-huh.
Everybody Talks.
Yeah, now it's huge.
Yeah, everybody wanted to buy that record, and of course, their career probably just went tenfold, right, after that?
Yeah, I mean, those things are massive. If you get used for one of those high-profile commercials, or mm-hmm. for another big one is video games, you know, if you get on the soundtrack of one of these, like if you're on Madden or like Grand Theft Auto or something, where, you know, these, they sell millions and millions of copies of that just in the first day.
Wow, that's
so
really cool.
That's way better than putting something out just on iTunes or what, you know? You can't really compete. And again, like radio and television, it just reaches so many viewers. Radio is still a big thing when it comes to music, obviously.
Yeah.
So if you actually have a label that's going to push yourself stuff to music, that's awesome.
Sounds good. Hey, we're out of time. Actually, you finished when I should have been ending, but that's okay, because we really appreciate having you. Real quickly, you would never consider wearing a grill without checking with me first, right?
Right.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. And by the way, podcasts are available at iTunes, dentallyspeaking.com, and we'll be here every Sunday at 8. Next week, we will have either a Dr. Kvitko News Bites episode or a surprise guest, depending on whether I get a response to my surprise guest in time. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thanks again. See you next Sunday.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1. Urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.